Hello.
Hello, boys.
And girl.
And girl.
Hello.
Oh, boy. Okay, it's time for you to go. Thanks for dinner.
See? There, right there. This podcast is about getting women in games together, and you're kicking them out. Kicking them out.
Of course games need women.
That's right.
I mean, there's no boobs, there's no nothing.
Exactly.
So you realize you might have just found yourself in the intro of the podcast.
Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast from HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin, gamertag JDevil. Tonight we're going to address an issue that we hit on in our news podcast a few episodes ago related to online gaming communities and female gamers. And joining me tonight, we've got Cole Monroe.
Hello, ladies.
Justin Gifford.
Ma'am.
Christina Hall.
Female.
Present. Before we get into our core conversation, we'll kick things off with our threesomes of the week, where everybody's picked three things that have had their attention in the past week, warm up video game conversation with our on-the-spot question, and then dive into our Games Need Women conversation, where we'll be taking another look at fatuglyorslutty.com and trying to figure out what's encouraging gamers to behave so negatively towards girl gamers online, and then close things off with our HorribleNight.com updates and game industry shoutouts. So let's get rolling with our threesomes, starting with Cole.
I promise I'm not going to talk about wrestling, even though I already made a wrestling reference in the first words out of my mouth this week. Okay. I watched Cop Out, the Kevin Smith-directed movie with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, and it's not terrible.
Quite an endorsement.
Really?
Considering how bad I thought it was, that is an endorsement.
That's one of the nicest things I think anyone can say.
It's not terrible. But it's not good either.
It's technically a movie.
It's a movie that I watched today. Moving on. I've been dove back into Big Love. And if you don't know what that is, it's about this group of fundamentalist Mormon polygamists in Utah, I believe. And it's a really interesting show with Bill Paxton as the lead dude. And there's a lot of drama involved in having three wives. And what more an appropriate time when we're talking about gaming and women than talking about polygamy. And I recommend checking it out. It's a really good show, and it's interesting coming from a monogamous relationship and seeing how awful it would be to have more than one wife.
Are you watching that to evaluate some alternative lifestyles?
No, I just think it's a good show.
Okay.
It's just interesting. Like I'm interested in different religions and how they work, and although that might not be an accurate portrayal of mentalism.
Someone go into Showtime or whatever station it's on.
HBO. Get okay. It right. Pay the price. And then moving on, I've been playing Torchlight, Cracklight, whatever you want to call it.
I like Cracklight.
Cracklight. Runic is awesome. And Torchlight. Go buy it. $15.
What class are you playing as?
Fighter. I think that's what it is.
Cool. I played the entire game ranged, so you're still liking it with close combat.
It's cool. You can mix it up with a fighter because you can obviously still carry pistols and guns. So I was double fisting weapons with one in pistol and one sword. So it kind of worked out to have, you know, it didn't get old just playing one style.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it didn't even occur to me I could flip between weapons. I just powered up my gun and stayed back.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me either. And then for some reason I had a pistol in my inventory and it equipped it automatically, and all of a sudden I was shooting dudes. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So I kind of kept that going.
Did you play much Diablo?
I played no Diablo.
Cool. Yeah, I was.
Or Diablo 2. I never got into it. I had moved on from, well, I guess the last really PC heavy game I played was Warcraft 3. So that was after the Diablos, but I was just never into the heavy mouse clicky games that weren't real time strategies.
That's another way to describe the genre.
I think I did a great job.
Let's go to Gifford's threesomes.
The Top Chef finale is, I think, tomorrow night. I'm a big fan of Top Chef. Cole obviously is too.
Yes.
Top Chef, aside from being a great show, and this is being the All-Stars season where they bring back the best people from all the last six seasons, I think gives a little guidance into doing game reviews. And I have a bridge for this, guys.
I'm waiting for it.
It's turning out a product which, like a dish where all the elements go together, and every time you turn it out, it's consistent. And that's something that we've talked about where in the great games of like 2010, that's what they pull off. The sound is great. The plot is great. The gameplay is great. The tone is great. Everything goes together, and there's consistency within. So anyway, it's one of those combinations of creativity and craft, I guess.
What's the difference between Top Chef and Iron Chef?
Top Chef is sort of a reality show, and it's not developed by the Japanese to start out with.
It's more of a long-term competition rather than a one-night, one-hour competition.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Let me explain it to you a little in a way that you're going to understand, Justin.
Okay.
It's like the cooking version of Project Runway.
Why would I understand that?
I don't know.
I'm more lost now. That's part
of the humor aspect of the sentence.
Is RuPaul involved too?
No, but a guy named Tom Colicchio is, and I ate at one of his restaurants. It was the best food I've ever eaten in my life.
Quite an endorsement. What else you got?
I got a book called Black Rain by Graham Brown. This is another one of those
books.
Books. But downfall of having the buy now and the recommendations on Amazon.
Oh.
And having the Kindle on my phone. So anyway, despite the fact I said downfall, I meant like financially. The book's been fun. It's a thriller. Not real heavy reading, but truthfully, between writing and work, I don't want, you know, War and Peace.
Fair enough.
That would make my brain bleed.
That's been my excuse for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to continue to play this angle up for the rest of our podcast.
Keep coming across as a literate. It works out well for you.
Hey, I think I can prove with running this site that I'm literate.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, considering this site, and it started with an exercise in creative writing.
Yeah.
And then as far as games go, we got Mass Effect 2, the Arrival DLC. Unfortunately, I had a podcast to do, so... it downloaded about the same time as I wrapped up beating the game on Insane. So I haven't got a chance
40
to play.
Hours?
huh?
Did you download it on the PS3?
So, I mean, it takes 40 hours to beat that game on Insane.
Well, yeah, I've been working on it for 60 hours if you beat everything.
Did you save everybody this time?
I saved everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's quite a feat.
Watch more
quite
than
a feat.
Seeing. Did
you figure out how to save everybody yourself, or did you have to look it up?
I did not figure out how to save everybody the first playthrough like a year ago. But since then, I figured it out.
Gotcha.
So anyway.
Cool.
I don't know if it's going to be staying up late tonight or tomorrow or whatever, but I'm going to crank in the Arrival DLC, and I'm sure it won't be nearly enough to tide me over until Mass Effect 3 comes out, which is sad.
Christina.
Yeah.
Welcome back. What about your threesomes?
I finally got back to some gaming this last week, although not too much. I played a few hours of Thief Deadly Shadows on Steam, and that was an old Xbox game that I kind of had an Assassin's Creed Splinter Cell sort of vibe to it. And definitely kind of like Assassin's Creed in that there was sort of that whole, you know, secret religious something or other, and you're stealing artifacts from them, and then they're manipulating you, and you have to assassinate people, and I'm playing that, and
I just realized that I thought you were playing the first Thief on PC, and this is actually like that. Yeah, this is actually the sequel. So I mean, Thief kind of just kind of introduced stealth and to first-person shooters back in the day on the PC. But I also wanted to state that when I was looking up Thief Deadly Shadows to confirm the timeline, I typed in Thief Deadly Showers and got much different results. But yeah,
good to know.
Go ahead to your next threesome.
I'll pass on that one. I watched probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time, only because I've been watching some really shitty movies. I went back and watched Daredevil.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, Daredevil. I haven't seen that since it came out in theaters, and I mean, that was quite a while ago. And I don't remember it being good, but I don't remember it being, like, god-awful. And maybe that's just because I blocked it from my memory, because when I went back and watched it this time, oh my god, is that movie awful.
Yeah, it didn't
hold up. Wow!
It was like right around the time, I think it was around the time, or after Spider-Man, that like neither of those movies really held up, but at the time they seemed okay and somewhat entertaining. Now,
well, Spider-Man 2 was sweet.
It's not anymore. Have you gone back to watch it?
He stops a subway train. That's a Superman thing.
But the rest of the movie, aside from an isolated action scene.
Okay, yeah, the movie's not that great. Christopher Nolan just needs to do all superhero movies from now on. Except Superman. You can't do Darkness and Superman.
Although he is working on it with Zack Snyder.
Yo, no! The two of them? On Superman?
Are you really worried? Can it be any worse than what we got before?
I actually like Superman Returns.
Anyway, what? Anything else to say about Daredevil?
Yeah, 3D was terrible. I think probably the worst thing about the 3D in that movie was that none of the characters had like any weight to them. They were kind of defied the rules of gravity. I think the last shot was someone throwing a rose off of a roof, and it just kind of went thunk. So, don't watch that movie. I mean, again, Colin Farrell.
He's good.
In that movie?
Oh, well, just in general, I like Colin Farrell a lot.
Man, he was trying to be psycho, and he was just trying a little too hard. He needed to dial it back a little bit. Anyway.
I just remember that being the only part of the movie I liked. Yeah. Was Bullseye.
Yeah, honestly, I'll agree with you there, though. He was over the top, but he was probably the easiest thing to watch. Throwing paper clips into people's necks.
Colin Farrell was the easiest thing to watch for a female. God, that's shocking, Christina.
Yeah.
So sexist or something.
Or liberated, one of the two.
Finally, I've been watching a show called Would I Lie to You, which is one of these BBC shows. And basically two teams, three people on each team, and they have to take turns reading out a statement while the other team interrogates them, and they have to expand on the story. And then at the end of that, they have to determine whether or not the person was lying. Funny, it's all kind of run by British comedians, so it's entertaining, and I recommend watching it right after you've watched Lie to Me, and try to pick up on some of the tells and the manipulators, and it's kind of fun.
God, I want to take classes and whatever the hell the guy on Lie to Me does.
No, it's like, and I realize that I need to not watch that show so seriously and think that I'm learning something.
That's true. I'm with you.
I really need to not think that, because I half the time when I saw the things that they were doing on the show that indicated lying, I was wrong when I was watching that. Would I Lie to You? So
yeah, I. Whenever I get bored in conversations anymore, I start to look at people sideways and just look at their facial expressions to see what they could possibly mean. Not like I'm some trained specialist now, just because I've seen half a dozen of those episodes.
Do you tilt your head sideways when you're looking at them?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, the trick is you have to hunch over a little bit, otherwise you can't.
Hunch over and tilt your head. Kind of awesome. One eye looking at you
with the mouth hanging open.
Yeah,
he tends to do that. He doesn't close his mouth.
It helps if you've played a monkey in a previous movie too.
Yes, that's true. Justin,
that movie's awful.
Yes,
what you been watching, reading, playing, listening to?
Tell you, I've been reading anything.
True dad.
Actually, I had a little impulse buy this weekend, technology-wise. I bought a Roku player.
Which version did you get, by the way?
What do you think I got?
The most expensive one?
Yes.
The shiny one. Come on,
Cole. Is that the HD one or the XD one?
Yeah, the XD. Yeah. The one I got has HD resolution and a USB output. Okay. And goes through HDMI. Anyway, there's three versions of it. I got the $100 one, and but I've been moving my 360 back and forth between my living room and my room a lot to watch movies and that kind of thing, and majority of the time I'm spending most of my watching either on Netflix or renting movies on Zune, and just kind of figured out that the Roku player started getting a lot of good reviews on some sites I trust, and I started looking into it, had a couple gift cards, and it looked kind of unobtrusive, so I wanted to try it out because it could be a potential gift for other people down the road as well. But it ties into Netflix, Hulu Plus, Pandora, Last.fm, and Amazon streaming, their movie streaming service, which I hadn't tried out. But so I've started to mess around with that, and it's also got some other custom channels for a lot of those internet TV sites that have started popping up, like Revision 3, all of their stuff is on there. And I was just kind of blown away just from the tech side, just all the amounts of content that are out there. And it kind of makes me excited about having other avenues to kind of maybe even distribute our own content in the future. But the player works really well. It's really simple to set up. And it's a nice alternative to having to have a game console, you know, as comparative to like an Apple TV, that type of setup. So I'm hoping after trying it out for another week or so that maybe I'll introduce the parents to it and see what they think and give them some alternatives to cable for getting a lot of content. So,
you know, with the – I guess we were talking about this on our Reply to All, but with sort of a center that does everything, it's kind of funny – I've got AT&T Universe, which ties into Media Center, which integrates really well between my computer and the Xbox and Universe. But I just noticed that the on-demand from Xbox Live versus the on-demand from the Universe, it's like $5 cheaper to get through Xbox Live, even though they're integrated.
Huh. Yeah, so people started doing a lot of math on these as far as what they're spending on cable versus what they could get with this plus using just a local antenna to get like the regular news stations. And it's going to become more and more competitive, I think. And so I just, I don't know, I kind of wanted to splurge a bit and try it out, see what it was like, and see if I knew anybody it'd fit for or if it fits for me. So I like it so far. Also, this weekend went and saw Sucker Punch. I threw up a review on Top Hat Sasquatch's site, so you can check that out to get my real thoughts. But what I was really blown away. Yeah, I threw it up. What I was really blown away with was the soundtrack to the movie. It stood out from the first scene.
My daddy thanks you.
What? Seriously?
My dad worked on that movie, yeah. He's like, I worked on a movie called Sucker Punch. It looks weird, but it's a paycheck.
I just got the, like, you know, the soundtrack versus the score, but I kind of want to track down the score, too, but the movie starts off with a cover of Sweet Dreams, and just really, really effective during the first scene, and it just kind of hooked me into paying attention to the music throughout. And there's a Bjork song on there, and it's kind of an interesting mashup of a Queen song, and it's pretty good. So I've been listening to that all week already.
I'm not sure how I feel about Brian May and Bjork being mentioned in the same sentence, but
that happened. Games-wise, I really didn't know what to play last week and somehow found myself on Monkey Island again, and mentioned it in this week's Meanwhile, but finally beat the special edition version of that. I still think computer's the way to go. Get that game on Steam and use a mouse, but they made enough transitions with the controller that it's still playable, but you'll find it's a lot easier to click through all your different commands on keyboard and mouse than on the Xbox controller. But still, all in all, really fun a game, and just I had stopped early in the game when it first came out, and being able to see kind of the voice choices they made with the characters later in the game, that's kind of where I got my most entertainment. And I said the cannibals have always been kind of my favorite characters of that series, and the voice actors they chose for that was just kind of perfect. And I think the second special edition is actually on sale this week on Xbox Live Arcade as part of the big sales going on. So,
and although this isn't a Think of the Children, if we have any parents listening, if you want to get into a historically important game that's lots of fun and safe for your kids, Secret of Monkey Island, yeah. Way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think I played that the first time when I was 8 or 9, so... and it got me, you know, you have to read a lot, you have to think a lot, problem solve, and it's also really funny. So.
You have to think?
Yeah.
Sorry, Christina.
This game's coming too, man.
This podcast is anti-reading and thinking. Got it.
I don't want any of that thinking shit in here.
Speaking of not thinking and stereotypes.
All right, nice segue to our on-the-spot question this week. Before we dive into and focus on girls in gaming, let's talk about which guy stereotypes in video games annoy you the most. Let's start with Gifford, actually.
Well, although my profile from time to time mentions the fact that I am a lawyer, I'm half scientist. And I like boobs and guns and punching like any other red-blooded American man, or since this is sort of a topic, woman.
Love boobs.
Yeah, see, Christina loves
boobs. Got him.
Pro boobs.
But what does the fact that, you know, I understand valences or the degradation of chlorinated organics in semi-anaerobic environments have to do with the fact that I don't get any player. I'm a sissy boy. Like, the scientist in games a lot of times is played out as this either androgynous or weak character. I got an issue with that. Indiana Jones was a scientist. Nobody calls him a sissy.
Okay, hang on. Why did you repeat that last line? We lost
Indiana again. Jones was a scientist, and nobody calls him a sissy.
That's true. Yeah. Batman's kind of a scientist.
Batman is a scientist.
He's badass.
He's badass.
He's not really portrayed as one very much.
But have you read the comics?
No, I know, but just like in mainstream movies, comic books, and comic books, but games.
But he looks through a microscope. He applies, you know, deductive reasoning and Aristotelian scientific method. I mean, Looks like a scientist to me.
I was just trying to shoot down your comment, even though I agree with it. All the scientists come across as the nerd in the group.
Bring it on. I will go. You're going down in flames for that one.
I was agreeing with you.
Iron Man, scientist.
So wait, so you're kind of disproving your point.
No, my point is that in a lot of games, it's a stereotype.
Yes, but there's Batman and Iron Man games.
Right. Well, let's not talk about the Iron Man game, right?
Cole, what stereotype annoys you?
The silent protagonist.
Really?
Like Link. Link. He annoys me. Why doesn't he have... He has thoughts and emotions, and he probably has a voice. You can't really hear him after that. Those damn fairies are talking all the time, but it annoys me.
I know why they do that.
I'm glad they have.
I saw there was a video that was making fun of Twilight that was kind of funny, but they basically explained that the reason why so many women are drawn toward the book is because the girl's got no description. So the reader can put themselves in the shoes of that character and kind of fill in their own details. So I think it might be the same with Link. You know, it's probably mostly played by men. And yeah.
Especially how Link started. But what about like the BioShock guy?
Yeah.
Or Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
Where's your arguments there, Christina?
I'm talking to you, Cole. This is the one that annoys you.
Yeah, it's annoying. I'm totally agreeing. I want Gordon Freeman. I want to hear the sultry tones of the Gordon Freeman's voice. I know he's got something to say all the shit he's been through.
That's a good point. What stereotype annoys you, Christina?
He is also a scientist, by the way.
The kind of badass who has a deep voice and maybe occasionally yells, but for the most part is emotionless, like Master Chief, Phoenix from Gears, like heck, even, well, I mean, this is a game reference, but Boba Fett, you know, just kind of that character that, you know, is the personality of cardboard. I don't know. That irritates me. Like,
I thought you liked Master Chief.
I do. I love his character design. I love the way he looks. You know. Okay. But yeah, as far as personality, I mean, you know, he's.
I was always off put by Master Chief's voice. I almost wanted him to be the silent protagonist. Versus, I don't know.
He might as well have been. You know, I think I would have liked it better if he had said nothing.
The thing about the Gears of War guys, though, is it normally annoys me, but that world is so one-dimensional that they all fit into it. Like, I'm cheering for Baird, I'm cheering for Coltrane, and, you know, Marcus is the leader of that group. So, in most other games, that annoys me. But the thing that keeps popping up in a majority of games, especially when they're trying to do new franchises, and come up with the character design of their hero. They always go with the, you know, the bald, scruffy protagonist to begin with, that the kind of anti-hero guy. And, you know, I think, like, I was kind of laughing when they were redesigning the Infamous character, because for Infamous 2, because it started out as just being this really generic guy, and they tried to make him a little bit more... you could pick him out of a lineup, and everybody backlashed against it, and they had to go back to the, you know, the bald, gruff voice character that it could be swapped into a lot of games out there. Like, you know, usually these are almost the games that stand out are the ones like that aren't all that successful, like Fracture, or, you know, I'll even say, well, on the successful side, the kind of generic model for the male Shepard in Mass Effect. It's just that kind of generic male character that seems to be the hero in every game.
But, I mean, I guess 2 points. One, going backwards, you can go with Shepard, you can model him however you want.
Yeah.
Not just physically, but, I mean, you can make him sensitive and emotionally available, or you can make him an asshole. And then, you know, with, I guess contrary to Christina's point with Master Chief, you know, I kind of like seeing that side of him, and that's why I enjoyed the Gears fiction. Was the author did a good job of, even though they're one-dimensional characters, saying this is some of their motivation. Like, she explains why Cole has that sort of indefatigable optimism. Like, that's how he deals.
Yeah. So. And I get that, and they also have to, like, try to, I don't know, appeal to the widest audience, but it just, it, they always, they boil it down to the, almost the, always the same guy that, you know, he could be one of three races. He's not too much of any, like, doesn't have a, like, a standout personality trait to put off people. And, I don't know. It's just, it's been done hundreds of times at this point. And, I'd like to see a new game for a new franchise by a new company kind of, take a little risk there. But anyway, enough about the fellas. Let's move on to the ladies. Like I said, a couple weeks ago during our February news discussion, we had all the guys on the podcast and we were discussing fatuglyorslutty.com and felt like we kind of had to cut off that conversation a little bit. And I wanted to bring on Christina this week to kind of get her take on the site and also just kind of relate some stories about being a female gamer and how and your outlook of online games and the online gaming communities, and kind of start going into a little bit heavier conversation that will probably continue in the future. But we all have issues with online multiplayer games and the negative sides of it. The gamers that kind of push other gamers from being away, and, you know, we're always trying to encourage people to play games and not, you know, write off the stereotypical gamer or redefine the stereotypical gamer. And, you know, when you see behavior like this as guys or as girls, it's just really off-putting as a gamer in general that these people are, you know, they're keeping away your friends from playing or other people. It's kind of encouraging their conceptions about what games are and who gamers are, and it's really off-putting. And so to start this off, Christina, we talked a while back about fatuglyorslutty.com, and it's basically a site where a group of girls has gotten together and they have taken a step back to laugh at all the horrendous messages they get while playing online games, and they're posting them for the world to see along with the gamer tags that are sending them to them. And what was your initial reaction when you started looking through the site?
Well, initially I was a bit turned off because I think I didn't realize what they were doing. I thought it was the guys who were saying, oh, here's all the fat, ugly, and slutty women in gaming. So once I realized what it was, I have to say it's funny to read some of this shit because I've read it myself, and I'm sick of getting those private messages or even comments in game. So now I'd have to say I do approve of it. Yeah, call out these assholes, and I've blocked many a gamer tag.
Have you gotten messages that are worthy of posting on that site?
Yeah, a lot of them though are audio. And
wow.
No, not audio messages, but a lot of the things that people say that really upset me are not something that I have record of.
Oh, like in the lobby.
Okay. But occasionally I have gotten the just obnoxious, abusive, you know, I have a big dick, you want to suck it, and, you know, are you hot? And yeah.
Creative bunch, aren't they?
Yeah, really, yeah. Really creative with their comments. Like, oh my god, you're a girl.
Oh.
Do you have a webcam? Can you get on the camera? So, yeah.
I mean, has that ever pushed you away from games, or maybe?
Yeah, I've stopped playing. I actually haven't played any Call of Duty Modern War. Oh no, Black Ops Online, because I had so much trouble with Modern Warfare 2. I really haven't gone back to it since the last batch of assholes. So, I think. Last time I played an online game like that, with the exception of Halo, I ended up blocking about... Well, that was when I did my rant.
Yeah.
So, that's how long ago, I guess.
Well, we were kind of excited Tuesday as the Fat, Uglier, Slutty team kind of discovered our site and saw that we were talking about them earlier, so I wanted to give them a shout-out and hello. But what I kind of took from our quick comment thread there was that I didn't pick up when reading the site is that I was kind of reassured that they were laughing at all these guys, that they think that this is pretty funny. But we know that if that's the initial reaction of a new gamer, guy or girl, I mean, it's got to be really, really, really off-putting to, you know, try to understand why all these people are playing Call of Duty or any of these games, let alone, you know, learning the game itself, but having to kind of put up with that day in and day out. But it's nice to see that not everybody is as thin-skinned and can kind of turn it on its head like this.
You know, well, I guess Justin and I were talking to Tuesday during work about that comment thread, and I shared Fat, Ugly, or Slutty with my girlfriend, and she thought it was great and funny and said, you know, I love this site. But, you know, when we're talking about Fat, Ugly, or Slutty's response, I think it's kind of important on two fronts. You know, one, obviously they're calling these guys out, and I'm using guys intentionally. These are guys doing this. But also because their reaction is, I think, put in a language that guys understand. And by that, I mean, they're calling out and going, really? Look how lame you are. You're calling me out because I'm a girl. You're not calling me out because I suck at this game. You're not calling me out because I don't understand what's going on. You're just calling out because I'm a girl. And I think that response is important because that's put in a language that men understand. That's taking that insult and responding with another insult. it doesn't necessarily mean anything terribly deep other than I think – hopefully everybody understands there is some degree of difference between how men and women communicate. And when men are being insulting to each other, it's not necessarily intended to be hurtful. And other guys generally don't take it that way. But at the same time, when guys are doing that towards women, I think they intend it that way, that it is hurtful. But when you've got people like the women at Fat, Ugly, or Slutty responding in this language, this context of fuck you, how sorry are you guys?
And posting
it spells it out. And posting, yeah.
Posting their name, like associating the guy with the comment that they thought they got away with.
Right. It's a combination of calling him out and responding via insult and emasculation that is just awesome. I love it.
It is great.
Like, I think it is awesome.
What I don't understand is about the whole insulting or leaving the messages and stuff like that is I always would rather have girls playing and encouraging that than trying to push them away by leaving them comments like suck my dick or, you know, show me your tits. Like, I don't understand. Are they trying to get them out of the game and not have them playing? Are they embarrassed because they're getting their ass kicked by a girl? What drives them to this? You know, like I don't know the methodology behind it.
Any insight there, Christina? I guess
I just don't get why people go out of their way to insult some, like, I almost view it as not even insulting the person. You're insulting a character or an avatar or, in my case, a top score on sorry, but, like, I friggin' kicked your ass and you come back with suck my dick. and if you can't even hear the audio, if you can't really know for sure if the person is female, sometimes they're sending that comment to a questionable gender or an implied gender, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't see what they get out of it.
Well, I mean, what differences do you notice, or I don't know, maybe you don't do this, but just as far as games you aren't winning, I know that might be a rarity for you, but
no,
when you're not performing well, or
she doesn't understand,
or like before you speak, or they know that you're a girl. Like, do you notice like a dramatic shift when that kind of gets revealed?
A few times, yeah, I've noticed. Sometimes people clean up their language. It's rare. Sometimes, yeah, people immediately go to the insults. Sometimes they go into their charming mode, like, oh, hey, you know, that's awesome.
Hello, lady.
You're a gamer. Wow. Like, so you're really a girl? Oh my God, that's awesome. And then they ask to be your friend and they want to get to know you, and then they start getting a little too personal, and then they want to know where you live, and then they look up your shit online, and then you block them. Circle of life.
You know, at the risk of, well, not risk, I'm just going to dive right into armchair psychology. You know, I gotta wonder if the guys who are coming out with this aren't secure, or they have a problem in dealing with women.
Well, like, they're playing video games. Of course they do.
When I play video games, I'm cool with women. I wish there were more women gamers.
I agree.
That said, I have a beautiful girlfriend, so maybe that has something to do.
My assumption has just always been that they're younger than we think they are. Like, you know, we're out of college, we have jobs. These, you know, it's like that mid-teenage level that I assume most of them are, even younger, that are sending these messages because it's their first time online type stuff, and this is how they do it.
Have you been able to gauge to any degree how old the guys who really talk a lot of shit are?
I think they sound like they're our age. To me, like, the people who give me the most shit, they do not sound like they're in high school. But then again, I mean,
yeah,
you know, once their voice drops, you can't really tell. but just the way they're talking, and they sound
the
like...
voice wasn't a metaphor, was it?
No.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think these are older guys, and yeah, I think they are just like insecure. They don't know how to talk to women, and here there's no accountability. They can say whatever the fuck they want and not really be punished, other than someone might block them. But they
do you think that maybe there are some guys online who use that as an outlet to insult women? Like, maybe they have a perfectly normal wife or girlfriend and kids, and then they go online to be this misogynist person.
I really doubt that. I'm sure there's someone who does do that, but I've never gotten that impression from these guys. I mean, usually they sound very single. Never been with any woman. Just kind of immature little brats.
I guess all of us have significant others. Cole's married. Justin and I both have girlfriends. I mean, some of the stuff that I hear people say, I literally would never consider saying, because not just my girlfriend might hear me, but, you know, just saying something like that, it's like, wow. That's a horrible thing to say, and just saying that, like...
Well, you have more respect for yourself and your girlfriend.
Right.
But I think you're right. It's just, It's not even a. It's not a matter of someone else hearing it. It's just I would never say it. Like,
do you guys talk much when you're playing online?
Well, no.
I don't talk at all.
But I'm trying to think of when I did. I used to.
It depends. I mean, for me, it depends. Like, if I'm playing with a group of guys who are chatty and, like,
yeah,
you know, we've got good banter going on, yeah, sure, I'll talk. And it's fun. But that said, I guess I think I made it clear. I sort of, not self-censor, but I self-select what online gaming communities I play in.
Yeah.
So to a certain degree, I've limited my exposure to the, you know, the fat, ugly, or slutty candidates, basically.
Christina, do you talk a lot when you play?
It depends on if occasionally, like, if I find a group that is just communicating via for the sake of strategy, then
right.
I'll talk and just announce where I am, or if I'm behind someone and they should go left and I should go right. Occasionally I'll find someone that I'm just chatty with, but it's kind of rare, and usually that person turns into a stalker.
You find that when you're doing the strategy talk that it turns out they find out you're a girl, and then that's when it leads to the
sometimes
nasty
it
comments.
Happens. There have been a lot of times, though, where I've been grateful that I've just kind of been treated as an equal or just given a bit of respect, and usually my score does that. But yeah, there are a few games that I've played. A lot of times, like Halo, I've rarely had any problem with assholes in Halo.
Oh.
Reach and 3, more recently Reach. Online games as well, RPGs. I can't remember the last time I've gotten comment or question like, "So you're really a girl?" I think a lot of people just kind of know how or assume female characters are females because there are starting to be some more female gamers on these games.
It's funny that you've got Reach. You know, you're mentioning Reach, and I played a lot of online Reach and not noticed any of that. I played with women. Yet, you know, Reach is a big online community. It's a first-person shooter. But you don't have. I just haven't run into it. So I mean, I think we've had similar experiences. I think it's sort of interesting that it's fits into that genre where it seems you would have a lot of that, but it just doesn't seem to exist.
It probably has to do with the type of crowd it draws. I really do think that the more realistic games are going to get more obnoxious trash talk, just because. Halo is sci-fi, and I honestly think that attracts a different kind of gamer, and I think that's one of the major reasons why people don't talk crap. I mean, reason, and then eventually just kind of a general understanding develops from that you just don't talk like that. In Halo.
What about Gears of War? I mean, because that falls into sort of a middle ground between sci-fi and realism, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Graphic. Usually, I just hear... I don't know that many women who play it, so I...
I know two. You and Ms. Kitty is her name.
Yeah. I don't typically play that, though. So I haven't been on enough to really hear a lot of trash talk in Gears.
I think you're on to something as far as I don't attribute to the realism. I attribute it more mainstream and kind of bringing in a new flock of gamers that don't play a lot of other games. Like a lot of the guys that I mean, it's not to harp on Call of Duty, but it's the prime target here. A lot of guys that play Call of Duty, that's the only game they play, and it may have been the only other game they played. And some of those guys, the only game I know they played before that was Madden, and they come from, you know, traditionally a more male-dominated game and centric society that just kind of encourages that behavior. And, you know, when they are confronted with something they are confused by and don't understand, they kind of react violently. I think, you know, this is all conjecture on our part. I'm not going to pretend like we're going to solve the world's problems here, but it's I do see an alignment between kind of what I associate with, you know, the more traditional frat boy behavior that is associated with those games and this kind of treatment to women and new gamers and just and a lot of the other problems that stem from those communities.
I'm a frat boy.
You know what I use.
No, wait. Okay. And because you said that, I'm going to see if I can get Mom a gift tour in on a couple of online Madden games if she can smoke some of those bitches.
No, I use the term frat boy versus fraternity brother.
I did not take offense at that. I knew exactly what
I
you
have
meant.
A lot of yeah, there's a lot of people that do, but when I say frat boy, I mean what they're fearing. And those guys can kind of they're loud, they're obnoxious, they dominate the room they're in and
they have small penises.
I think that's the abrasiveness that turns all of us off and turns away new gamers and girl gamers from some trying out some of these games initially. But are there any other – go ahead, Christina.
I think another factor that might contribute to the higher amount of trash talk is a lot of these Modern Warfare games – are played by people in the military. And that typically is older people. And so when you've got an older crowd playing with also a younger crowd, which is typically due to parents just not censoring games for their kids, the kids are going to pick up on that kind of talk and take it a step too far, which kind of comes back to what you're saying earlier about, you know, a lot of teens being on there and just saying ridiculous shit for the sake of saying ridiculous shit.
And to try to impress, you know, whoever they're looking up to in that community. Too.
Right.
And taking another step too far, I got to wonder if there's more of that self-selection, whereas, you know, in the sort of hyper-masculine military environment, the women who are in the military are used to that kind of interaction. And dish it outright as, you know, just as well. Whereas when you're playing an online game, you're not dealing with that self-selected crowd.
Well, there's that side, but I mean, I don't.
Not that it makes it okay. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, right.
You know.
But I like going back to the fat, ugly, or slutty messages, I don't get that sense of playfulness or trash talking from a lot of those messages.
No, that seems angry.
Yeah, it's just
abusive.
Are there any other games out there that have done a little bit better? And you know, maybe it's just self-policing the communities. But I think you're onto something with the sci-fi edge of Halo attracting a different crowd. And I'd say the MMOs, they also have that side of them, the community side of them. A lot of guilds are very close, and they kind of protect their own. And the other side to MMOs, just to throw this out there, when you are constantly represented by an avatar, you can never really tell who's a guy or who's a girl. I mean, the old joke in Warcraft when I started was every time you saw a female avatar, you have to assume it's a guy.
Yeah.
Because the girls weren't doing it so they couldn't get attention because they didn't want the attention, and then guys were just weird.
I don't know about every, you know, multiplayer community, but at the same time, I feel like I've had a pretty positive response probably 95% of the time when I or somebody else has called somebody else out and been like, you know what, that's not cool. It seems like the crowd has been fairly willing to turn on the guy, the person who's gone too far. That they've been, when you call them out, they're like, fuck you guys. And then suddenly everybody else in the lobby or during the game says, you know what, you need to chill out or just go away. We don't want to play with you anymore.
I do want to hit that up later. I think that'll kind of be how we close this segment out, is what we can do to help or change things. But I did want to hit up, before we got too far in here, just what other aspects of these games or the online environments do you think is actually encouraging the behavior? I think we've definitely hit on the fact that a lot of these messages are sent because they think they're completely anonymous, and that's a internet problem, not just limited to games. But what else is out there that stands out?
I mean, I honestly think anonymity. Damn it! Nobody knowing what's going on.
Anonymity.
Thank you, anonymity. I think that is a huge part of it. You know, I would love to see some of these guys say the shit that they say with their mama in the room.
Yeah,
I think that is.
That's the number one thing.
I think that's the solution. Yeah, that's the big thing. Everyone needs to play with their mom in the room.
I like it.
And we solved the world's problem.
Not drunk or high. It can work.
Yep.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That could be the other side.
You ever hear a stoner talk a lot of shit? No.
Like, hey, man, can't we all just get along?
Hang on. Can you guys hold on before we launch this game? I'm going to go out and take another bong rip.
And
or something like that. I don't know. It was a pretty good sound effect, though.
Thank you.
I don't think we have anything like really in depth for you there, Lacey. Yeah. It's just like anonymity. There you go.
Well, I think I was going to kind of what we alluded to in the mainstream stuff is just that games are competitive by nature and kind of encourage that trash talking.
Yeah, but they take it so far beyond what a game of ping pong that between you and me.
Right, I guess I'm saying that's where it starts. Like starts in like the trash talking is encouraged, the competitive nature is encouraged, that ultimately leads to, you know, sore losers that lash out and
aren't clever.
Yeah. No, I've completely dominated people and they still have the balls to, you know, whatever, bitch.
No, I guess that.
I mean, does that gender or does that create a positive environment from everybody else? Like, she's right. She did kick your ass. You should shut up. Or is it
usually
totally
I don't have people defending me. No, usually people just kind of either quiet or, you know, they've already muted everyone in the chat room. So, or, you know, they're in their own private game chat. I usually don't have people defending me, but one of the things I do notice too is that not necessarily gender related, but not the anger geared toward a woman is. Let me start over.
Keep that in.
Men are more aggressive when they play. And I have yet to hear a girl screaming at the screen, "Oh, come on, you fucking noob tuber." We just don't get that involved in the games. And I've had people go off on me like, "Oh, come on, where were you?" And they're not yelling at me because I'm a girl. They're just yelling because they're way too into it, and I've blocked many of those people as well.
Equal opportunity blocker.
Well, people who are overvalue their gameplay abilities and are over aggressive.
And
they also call people who win cheaters. So
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to, you know, separate these conversations a bit, because that whole addressing the issues of online gaming communities is much broader topic, so I kind of wanted to focus on this one part that just, you know, kind of disturbed us as a group, and something I guess before I came across the site and had conversations with Christina, I'll bring this up again, around the time that, you know, I was kind of pushing her to make her gamer profile stuff public so we could tie it into the site when we were getting it going, and not really fully understanding the harassment she was dealing with, and that, you know, she's not alone in dealing with, and it just, you know, it kind of struck a nerve with all of us, and so I figured as good of a place to start as any.
I was just gonna say, kind of closing that little segment up is, or maybe, and in response to Christina, you know, I think that there is definitely a line between competitive smack talk and just really horrible behavior. You know,
yeah.
I will yell at people when I'm playing online, and it's not because I hate them or I want to degrade them personally, but it's like, you know, what the fuck was that? You told me you had me covered or whatever. It doesn't mean that their mom's a whore.
there's no evidence of that correlation.
Right. There's no possible relationship between those two. But yeah. At the same time, there is definitely some sort of weird line where somebody will step over and say,
well, I mean, I've always attributed that to, like, there are groups of people I will play with where we're all taking it seriously, and you have to communicate, and you do need to call people out for, like, not doing what they were supposed to do. But that's usually when I'm playing casually online with strangers, I'm not looking for that. So, but that's, I don't
slap after the missed free throw shot.
And that's not anything I'm, you know, if that was the only problem we were dealing with is overzealous players that are just taking it a little too seriously, but not, you know, being bigoted or hurting people or alienating people. That's, I'm okay with that side. That's just, that's part of the competitiveness of multiplayer games that draws me to it. So if we get to that point,
for that.
Well, that, I think that's an easier problem to deal with. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, again, what is drawing out these negative gamers and why they continue to feel empowered to do it. Like, what is it?
It's back to the anonymity. I can't say it either.
Anonymity.
Nobody knows who
anonymity.
They are.
Yeah. Anonymity. If nobody knows who they are, they can get away with it. I guarantee you they're not talking like that when they're in school or eating dinner with their significant other, if they have one, or, you know, talking to their parents. They're not using that same language. It's because they're anonymous. I mean, I think that's the.
Yeah.
So I don't think our society is raising these people to be like this.
And you don't think it's video games that's making them do it either.
No, I think it's the fact that nobody knows who they are.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. These guys exist on tech support forums and blog comments and.
Yeah, the trolls. I mean, yeah. They're there. They're just
louder because they're.
It's the internet. It's the nature of the internet.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
All right, let's.
And, you know, that's why we get moderators on established sites. So when somebody takes off like that, you can ban them.
Yep.
So your comments are no longer welcome here.
Well, before we get to some solutions, which I think you're on the right track there, Gifford. Let's take a little break here. And one thing I wanted to bring up, just because it's a little bit, it's not as promoted in the game industry, and kind of did it as a test for all of us here to try to find out some standout women in the gaming industry and just talk a little bit about their accomplishments. Just, you know, just to name drop some names that don't get mentioned as much. And Cole, who'd you find?
I'm going to start out with Leigh Alexander. She writes for Gamma Sutra, I guess. It's a game developer blog, and they do news and stuff. She also writes guest columns for Kotaku. And has her own blog at Sexy Video Game Land. And this is a girl who knows what she's talking about. Like, she's definitely well-informed, and she plays a lot of games. So, I mean, she's a rare breed out there in the journalism, but women do have a voice, and she's a good one to check out.
A lot of her articles are centered around the industry as a business. And,
right.
Not necessarily like the game coverage stuff, even though I know she plays plenty of games and has opinions on that as well.
Yeah.
Christina.
Jade Raymond is a Canadian video game executive, and she currently is the director of Ubisoft in Toronto. And she was started out as a programmer and got involved at... I think she worked for Sony and EA, and then eventually she was the producer on Assassin's Creed, at least the first one that I know of. But Yeah, just a gamer who got into, you know, realized, hey, I want to kind of make this stuff, and you know, did a little bit of a programming, and is now like in charge of a huge studio, which is just badass. So, and you know, that's not me being biased because she's named Jade.
Good qualifier. No, she's been attached to some big titles, and I think she's working on trying to, you know, she helped with getting Assassin's Creed on the map and then moved on to a new franchise that they've been working on for a while. I think it's called I'm Alive, but it's Alive something, but it'll probably be highlighted more at this year's E3. Gifford?
Yeah, wanted to talk about Roberta Williams. She is one of the founding members of Sierra Online, which now pretty much runs the world. No, Sierra turned into Blizzard, if I remember correctly.
They were purchased. There's a lot of purchases.
And yeah, and I think
acquisitions.
Just, yeah, I think Activision owns all the Sierra stuff. That helps. But go ahead.
Anyway, sorry for that factual inaccuracy. Anyway, Roberta Williams was responsible for the King's Quest series. I think Cole's kind of waxed eloquent on that. She also did Phantasmagoria, which is her favorite of the things that she did. And she's married to Ken Williams, who was the other founder of Sierra Online. And she's since sort of gotten out. She's sort of retired. But she's sort of a badass, basically. I mean, if you look at her resume, she did one of the early Mickey games. She did the King's Quest games, Phantasmagoria, you know, and she started doing this when she was 19, 20, something like that.
I had to be a real boys club at that point too.
Yeah, she was probably exactly. The only one. So, you want to talk about somebody who was a badass when it was a boys club. There you go. And the other person that really deserves a shout out from me are the six women who did most of the coding for ENIAC, which was one of the first computers ever. I was developed with John von Neumann. And yeah, they did most of the programming for it. There were six of them. The one that reminded me was Kay McNulty. But if you do any programming or computer work and you're a female, they're your pioneers.
That's crazy. Never knew that one. And also back to Roberta Williams, the fact that she worked on Phantasmagoria too. I mean, that was one of those first games I saw as a little kid that I knew it was an adult video game, and like it wasn't your run of the mill mainstream, you know, title. It was hardcore.
Yeah, and that was her favorite game that she developed.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It just so happens that two of my favorite series of all time were developed by the same creative director, Amy Hennig. Was involved at Crystal Dynamics throughout the Legacy of Kain series. They helped out Silicon Knights with the first Legacy of Kain game, which later spun off into the Soul Reaver series, which she was lead creative director on. And those are some of my favorites. But more recently, she's at Naughty Dog, and she heads up the creative team for the Uncharted series. And it's another game that we've talked plenty about and been enamored with. And been awestruck by, and Amy just continues to top all of her great work. I had the privilege of actually being able to see her speak at PAX 09 a couple years ago, and she's a badass.
I just want to throw one thing in real quickly because I was looking for it and couldn't find it before we started recording. Kathy Carlston Brisbois from Broderbund. That was the Carmen Sandiego games, Karateka. Uh-huh. She was one of the founding members.
Oh, cool.
Just had to get that in there.
Dropping all kinds of knowledge. So, but these are just a few that we've found. But you know, we look up to the game industry quite a bit, and It's still, unfortunately, like I said earlier, quite a boys' club, but there are plenty of women out there that are making great games that have impacted us all the way.
Like Christina Hall, who worked on Lars Super Action Danger Lizard, or whatever the name of that game is. I can never remember the name of that game.
Cheap plug.
I know.
Well done. Well done. All right, let's wrap up our Games Need Women conversation with some solutions here. Not that we're trying to right all the wrongs in the world, but we've kind of alluded to a few here. But what do you think kind of addresses some of these issues of anonymity and negative gamers and helping make online gaming communities a bit safer for everybody, especially women?
The only thing that can be done to get rid of the anonymity is the real ID. I murdered that again. It's okay.
The word of the day is...
I cannot speak.
Anonymity.
Okay. And I think, I mean, people who are up in arms about it are the ones who are using this sort of language. Not any of us, I don't think, because we're normal and... All behind Real ID, because we realize that we represent ourselves in a positive light in while we game, and we don't care that if our real names are attached to the way we play.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add to really most of this is Cole, and you know, we're not coming across like we're a bunch of goody goodies, but
definitely not.
You know, we like to game, we like to talk shit, we curse online, and, you know, if your 12-year-old is playing with us and you don't want to hear that kind of language, you probably shouldn't have bought him an M-rated game. But that said, I'm okay with somebody associating my game with, you know, my Facebook page and my real email and my real name, and if you want to send a... not a screen capture, but a recording of the stuff that I say when I'm playing to my mom, she's probably going to give me a hard time for saying fuck so much. But other than that, I'm not going to be embarrassed about it.
But she does that when she listens to the podcast.
That's true. She already called me out once. And said I was grounded for stealing quarters from my dad's change bank for going to the arcade. But the point, yeah, like... we're not coming across like we're all high and mighty and we are perfect angels when we're playing online. But we're still behind Real ID.
Yeah, and that's not because our names are out there with our gamer tags because we have a website. If we didn't have Horrible Night and this platform, I'm pretty sure I can say that we'd all feel the same way. I know I would.
Yeah, yep. I mean, I realized when talking through this the past month that I avoid playing online games more often just because of I don't want to deal with the bullshit that's out there. You know, I can't imagine if I, and I'm not even actually being attacked or anything. Like, it's just, it's more of just annoyed by what I hear. And if you're telling me I can get rid of that noise by just basically having some ownership of who I am out there and that people know it's Justin Lacey that they're gaming against, I'm absolutely fine with that. Tristina, do you think that'll help? Are you behind it? Or?
Well, is it it's first and last name or just first name?
I'd be comfortable with either, but I think it was first and last name.
I think it's linking your real identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a problem with that just because of, you know, as from the point of view of a girl who's gotten weird people who've kind of stalked and tried to find out like kind of personal things about me.
Yeah.
I would probably steer away from that. I wish I was in a place where I could feel comfortable doing that, but I just don't think we're there yet. I kind of wish that sites like Xbox Live had some kind of system where you could kind of see who the problem players were, maybe, and just do a better job of reporting them, because I feel like I feel like we report people and nothing gets done about it.
Yeah, there's I think that would be my next step aside from, you know, if you can't tackle the anonymous issue, is really just addressing the how to report people and how those punishments are dealt out and if they are. You know, that's kind of the thing. People also feel entitled when they're paying for their Xbox Live Gold subscription, that they get everything they can out of it, and if, you know, they get suspended or whatever for their behavior, they're probably going to get really defensive of it. But if there was kind of some clear-cut rules out there and, you know, probably a more active way for the community to police itself is where it's going to be. It's not going to be reliant on Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo employees to go about this. But
well, I mean, I'll put on my lawyer hat on this one. You agree to the end user license, and part of that is you have to abide by the rules, which means not doing basically the behavior we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they do have the report this person. So I think part of it does lay the answer does lay within the community. If we're not talking real ID, the answer does lay within the community. You know, don't abuse your report function, but at the same time, I think you need to use it. Just to stamp the sort of behavior out. Yeah. But you know, and part of it lays on Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo to enforce those. And I think maybe there's some middle ground where we've seen success on a lot of the big sites, whether it's video gaming or not, where you have active moderators, who do a good job. You know, if somebody's just on there trolling and flaming, they'll get banned. It's, you know, I will be a really responsible moderator if you waive half my Xbox Live Gold fees. I'll spend 6 hours on a Sunday.
I was going to say, that's a great solution if we could get, you know, incentives to be moderators. But I think it's so hard if you have even 50 lobbies, and I know there's probably a lot more in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and you have, you know, how many people are, like, say 10, just to be easy on my brain because I'm not good in math. I mean, you got 500 people talking shit. Is there going to be somebody who's a moderator in every one of those lobbies? Like,
I don't think I don't want to go that crazy, but, you know, even if you're just waiving a half of an annual Xbox Live subscription, so $40 a year, or $35 a year, whatever it is, for people to, you know, spend a little bit of time just going through the reports and maybe being able to easily link them to gamer tags. So you can see if somebody has 74 reports against them, guess what? That's not an accident. This person is violating the shit out of their end user license agreement.
Or even go to fatuglyorslutty.com and look at these people and flag them. You know, if you're going to have somebody do that work for you already, then you can be on the lookout for these jackasses.
Xbox Live, are you listening?
I was thinking there's probably something that's going to probably be up to the platform developers, but I could see Microsoft jumping on it just from the way they run their platform. But it was just a scenario ran through my head, Cole, when you're discussing how to handle it in Call of Duty. This is basically every game has to, you know, whenever they take a game online, it has to support leaderboards. It has to support whatever their defined standards are. Maybe one of those is like some observation mode for the game that basically, I know this is getting into probably some privacy things here, but stay with me.
Nope.
If there was a way that, you know, if there was a problem in a game, like if there's a problem in a game that somebody could flag the game or flag a user in a game, and then the moderators that are online at any given time, they don't have to have the game. They can almost see a list of the games that are flagged at that moment, and then be able to log in to basically view chats or and listen in on chats. Yeah, to see if something wrong is really going down, so they can actually get a witness and then actually, you know, do some sort of punishment for that person.
There's no privacy issue. That's what the EUL is for.
Yeah.
If you want to practice on the service, then you agree to that.
I was just going to say, like, even simplifying all of that to the 100th degree, why don't they just make a clean lobby? Like, have it where you can't. This might be impossible.
You're getting into stuff where I don't necessarily want that all the time either.
Mm, me neither.
I
want to be able to be myself in the lobby, but I'm not.
I understand. But if people who don't want to be, you know, subjected to this, let them make that choice for themselves.
Oh, a self-selecting clean lobby. If you want to go to a lobby, there's a clean lobby. Okay.
Halo started doing that too with like what type of gamers do you prefer to play with. I don't know how effective they are, but like, you know, if being in a clean lobby means they turn off that chat, or like, as long as it doesn't affect how I have to play, that's really the other side of this argument is.
You don't have to choose to be in there, you know.
Like, yeah. You gotta get careful when you split up the audience as far as.
Yeah.
Especially for some of the games that aren't as popular, finding games can be an issue. Yeah. So.
I'll throw out there the one brief point I had, which is, boys, grow a pair and realize that if you would like, I don't know, women to like you, and you want to be somebody who can refer to yourself as an actual man, it doesn't require you to denigrate women.
Really?
End of story. Like, that's not complicated.
No, it's not. And also, wouldn't you want your girlfriend to play video games?
Yes.
Isn't that like the holy grail of a relationship? If you could get your significant other to be interested in gaming like you are?
Ooh. I think
co-op Gears of War 2 without...
Exactly.
I mean, that's been the whole goal. It's like, gaming's got enough uphill battles just within society that this is just one major issue that, aside from content of games that we battle, you know, it doesn't matter how much they, you know, how much they clean up the games or how well defined the rating systems are. There's still that whole we can't rate the online experience because there's a bunch of douchebags out there warning that is turning a bunch of people off. That, you know, I think we're just kind of beginning that conversation as far as how to take a more active role in helping clean that up. Because I think we've kind of have a mutual shared interest there, but I think it's gonna do it for tonight. Anybody else have any closing comments here before we move on?
I just totally forgot about Halo and how you could kind of filter those types of chat rooms or the types of games that you were put in. I think that's why I had such an easy time. With that game, because I usually was in the lobby that was just for fun or just, you know, was a quiet one, didn't like to say a whole lot, and that worked out really nice. So, yeah, more games like that.
Gifford?
Yeah, and I imagine if you're listening to this, you care about gaming as a whole. And if you play online gaming, keep this in mind, you know. Be proactive. Call somebody out for saying stuff that's over the line, and report them. And then capture their screenshot and send it to Fat Ugly or Slutty. And if you can find their mom's email address, send it to them too.
I like that. Cool. Before we wrap this show up, though, we're gonna, as far as HorribleNight.com updates go, we would like to announce our next Horrible Night Out. For those of you in the Indianapolis area, we will be at NetHeads on Friday, April 15th. And more about that will be coming up on the site as well as Facebook. But kind of wanted to take the opportunity to get that on calendars while we get the details organized. But you can check out netheads.com and also their Facebook page for more information about their location. But basically, a nice gaming cafe that we can all get together and play games in person and be comfortable, have drinks, and have a good time. So really looking forward to that in April. And let's get out of here with game industry shout-outs, starting with Christina.
I watched I think it's just his YouTube tag, Freddie Wong, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He composites some 3D into some video that he's shot, and usually it's got some kind of game reference. And I have to say that guy probably owns about 64,000 guns, because he seems to have a gun in every single one of his videos, and they're not all 3D. So, he keeps doing he's done live action Counter-Strike videos, live action Mario Kart, funny one where he does like a rocket jump, and it looks good. I mean, it's, I have to say, for a small group of people that are doing this just for fun, he's got a huge following, and if you haven't seen that stuff on YouTube, check it out. Freddie with an IE.
Yeah, it was funny. You posted a link to a video of his I hadn't seen, but it was like, you know, one of those, when I'm watching that video, I was like, I've seen something like this before. And then you realize, holy shit, this guy's made a ton of these, and they're all awesome.
Yeah.
Coleman.
And trying to do some research about this topic, I came across girlgamer.com. And it's just a social network, community, new site for female gamers. I think it's really cool that there's an outlet there where they can feel, you know, protected and like they have a voice and kind of get away from the stupid guys out there always trolling and saying derogatory things to them. So I recommend if anybody is interested, check that site out. It seems like it's a pretty cool community.
Nice.
You belong to that, Cole?
No, I don't. I am not a girl gamer.
You're not?
No.
You're a supporter of girl gamers, though.
Are yes. You hot?
Yes, I am. I am a big supporter of girl gamers.
Wow. Role reversal here at the end. Gifford.
I'm going to shout out to my unofficial The Horrible Show sponsor, Jimmy Chance.
Yay!
And Spencer, coming to get you tomorrow, buddy.
Yay!
And this is without context. Shout out to Motel 6. And I'm going to give a negative shout out to BioWare's Twitter feed, just because if they post one more thing about the Arrival DLC, I'm just going to snap, because it has been clogging up my Twitter feed all day.
Yeah, there's an art to how much you spam your own stuff on Twitter, that's for sure. Yeah, let us know if we're doing a good job or not, I don't know. But I was going to say, I did notice a lack of barking during this episode, but also another shout out to Ethan, who wasn't able to join us tonight. He'll be back next week. As far as my shout out goes, I came across a link of something all of us former NES owners can appreciate, was somebody's actually turned the whole blow into the cartridge trick to get it to work into a breathalyzer. So Andrew Rotano of BatsleyAdams.com has actually converted something that looks like an NES cartridge anyway into a breathalyzer that you can blow into and register how drunk you are. And that link actually came to us from one of my other favorite sites, the drunkenmoogle.com, who those guys are kind of famous for making game-related drinks that we can all enjoy. So.
And that's for when you don't have Contra to judge how drunk you are?
Yes. Contra should actually come with that, and it shouldn't unlock until you're a certain level of drunk, in my opinion. But that's a whole other technology, I think. That's going to do it for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Christina, good to have you back. And
certainly.
The Horrible Show will return next Wednesday. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time. Later.